Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you testify on your own behalf, so your testimony cannot be verified. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I do testify on my own behalf, my testimony can be verified, because I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by appearances, but I do not judge anyone. And even if I judge, my judgment is valid, because I'm not alone, but it's I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law it is written that the testimony of two men can be verified. I testify on my behalf, and so does the Father who sent me. So they said to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. You knew me, you would know my father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the treasury, in the temple area. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of the Lord. It was Super Bowl Sunday, and a man was watching the game. Halftime arrived, and he decided to go in his room because halftime is usually about an hour break. So he went into his room and left the door ajar, and his little daughter, who was about 10 years old, entered into the room. And she saw him looking at pornography, her father. So in tears, she rushed out of the room and told her mother. Mother said, our marriage is over. That's the first reading today. That's the first reading. This is the longest reading we have in Lent from the book of Daniel. Go back and read it again. I was looking at my watch. Joanne was reading for 10 minutes, no? Which is great, great reading. I was fascinated. It's a great reading, and there's so much there. But I'll pick out maybe three ideas. All of us are getting older. Whether we admit it or not, we're getting older. No? Let's pray that we don't get more evil as we get more old. That's one conclusion I make. We can get older and you think older people are going to become more holy. Don't kid yourself. Often older people, they're more impatient. They're crotchety. Cantankerous, impatient. Hey, don't kid yourself. Oh, I'm old. I'm going to become more holy. No, you got to work at it. So with age, holiness does not come unless we constantly work on aging with grace. When I make the way of the cross, for example, today Father Antolini's 88 years old. My mother is 3 months older than him. When I make the way of the cross, the fourth station, I stop and I pray for my mother that she, these will be the best years of her life. That she will not become more bitter or angry or lazy, but rather these years that she'll pray even more, give good example to her grandchildren, pray more for me, yes, I'll say that too. There's no reason why an 88-year-old priest and an 88-year-old mother and grandmother and mother of a priest cannot grow holy as they get older. That's one of the programs that I've written out recently, consecrating the elderly to the Blessed Mother in these latter years. So don't think as you get older you become more holy. How many older people are in nursing homes basically vegetating? I don't think they're getting holy at all. So think about aging. You'd be able to age. As you get older, you become more holy. That should be our prayer. Amen? So every year that passes, we should pray that we become more holy, more close to God. Second point to make is this, is the verse that has always struck me most that Joanne read, and I think it probably touched most of you, is that these older people, they suppress their consciences and they fail to raise their eyes to God. Of everything you read, that one, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Remember that verse? Okay, I'll repeat. They suppress their consciences and they fail to raise their eyes to God. Okay, I'm going to make a comment that I think most of you will agree with, even though you've never heard it before. Why is it that your children, when they're 8, 9, they go to church, 13, 14, 15, confirmation, they go to church, then they go away to college and they give up going to church? Because they suppress their conscience and they fail to raise their eyes to God. Would you agree with that? They suppress their conscience and they fail to raise their minds to God. One more step. Because they have an addiction. That addiction is to pornography. Hello? For me, it's a no-brainer, obviously. Now, they're going to skirt the issue and say, well, you know, look at those priests and bishops, look at the church, they're hypocrites. I'm not going to stay in a church where there's so many hypocrites. That's what they're going to say. But they're really trying to circumvent the reality that they have an addiction that they don't want to give up. And when parents have those teenagers or they're in their 20s that they leave the church, individually I like to sit down, especially the men, and I like to confront them on that. Just have a man-to-man talk. Thomas Aquinas says this, St. Thomas Aquinas, is that lust blinds, like today, that's Aquinas, lust blinds. But he also says, a man that cannot control his sexual passions is an effeminate man. Wow. Whoa. He's a sissy, un efeminado. He is un hombre mujercita. Now for the macho, man, right in the gut. But it's true. Who's the more valiant man? One that follows his passions and gives in to sexual pleasure, or is able to hold back and control himself? Hello? You know what I'm talking about. It's hard to practice virtue. It's hard to be humble. It's hard to live out chastity. Hard. But it's a real manly virtue. So I really believe that's the primary reason why young people, they leave the church. Is that they cannot control their passions. And they make a pretext because of some other issue. They're pointing their finger at maybe the church or someone else. They should be examining their own conscience. You know, I would admire a young man that has the problem with the pornography and he falls every day for 3 times, then he goes to confession every day. Then it's going to be 2 times a day, then once a day, then once every 3 days, then once every 4 days, then once a week, then once a month. This is called the principle of graduality in moral theology. Principle of graduality, any good confessor knows that. And a lot of people they'll say, I'm going to give up confession because I fall into the same sin. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe you did fall into the same sin, but it's less and less and less and less. That's the way God works in most of us. It's not a sexual sin, it's impatience or greed or gluttony. We can't overcome these devils just like that. No, God could give us the grace to conquer some vice just like that, but that's usually not the way it is. Saint Mary of Egypt was a prostitute for about 20 years. She was not able to overcome her sinful tendencies until she was 40 years old. I like that. It took her 20 years of patience and prayer and penance, and now she's a great saint. So I invite all of you to maybe read through this passage today. It's just fascinating. I've given you 2 ideas. I give you one more idea. We're not going to fall into this trap ourselves if we're faithful to making our daily examine every day. You hear me? And many of you know the daily examine. You've written things on it. You know, you've read Father Tim Gallagher's books. All of you by now, you know what the daily examine is. Are you good at doing it? Probably not. But if you can, try to do your daily examine. What's going to happen is once these ugly thoughts or feelings or a circumstance or a person is placed in your path, which is pulling you in the wrong direction, what does a daily examine do? Careful, 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 red light, red light, red light, red light, back off, back off, back off, get out of there. That's the way the Holy Spirit works, at least in me, very blunt with me. Maybe more gentle with you, but I like the way the Holy Spirit works because He warns us. How great is our God? How great is our God that He's willing to warn us of the danger that we can be in? So read and meditate upon this passage again. It's a wonderful passage. Let's pray that none of us would ever suppress our consciences and fail to look up to heaven. Amen.